Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk. My two co-hosts and colleagues, my son Ryan and Dr. Meg Meeker, are both out of the office today, so it's just going to be you and me here in the studio. And that's all right, because what I have to talk to you about is rather intimate anyway. And I just wanted it to be me here in the studio and my team on the other side of the glass in the control room and those who are listening. Have you ever lost a very close friend to sickness and death? Or has a cherished family member gone on to be with the Lord in your family? You know how precious that can be, but it's also a very painful experience. Well, it has happened to Shirley and me just recently. We have known Robert and Bobby Wogemuth for more than 30 years. We have taken vacations together, and we've visited in each other's homes. We've raised our kids together. Also, Robert and I have worked together in recent years. He is an author, he's a literary agent, and a very, very creative man. Robert and Bobby have both been guests on our broadcast many times, perhaps 20. So some of you who are listening have heard them over and over again if you've been tuned in to our programs. And we want you to hear from them today. Now, sadly, Bobby has been dealing with ovarian cancer. She's been through 3 rounds of chemotherapy with all that that implies. And to explain their journey, we want to play part of an interview that was conducted by the Wogemuth pastor. He's Dr. David Swanson, and he is the senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Orlando, Florida. And several months ago, he interviewed the Wogemuths in his church service, and I want you to hear now a recording of that interaction.
When I was 24 years old, I'm 64 now, so that was 40 years ago, we had our second child, Julie, and when they handed her to me after I woke up, they said, "There's something wrong." And at that moment, a journey began for us as a couple where we experienced disappointment and doubts and an uncertain future, and yet God showed himself so real and so present through his word, through the church, through people, that I believe at that point 40 years ago, he prepared us for what we would face in our 60s. Mm.
It's amazing how God is faithful in doing that, mm-hmm. that you don't know what is on the horizon, but he's always preparing you and getting you ready for whatever that thing is that will come. So tell us just a little bit about what the 60s have been and the challenge that you have most recently faced.
Back to when I was 24, I remember I had been in a Bible study, and the Bible study teacher had encouraged us to memorize scripture. And I am so grateful that I memorized scripture when I was in my 20s. The other thing besides God's word, if I had to be on an island with 2 books, I would pick my Bible and a hymn book, because hymns have been such an incredible part. We are a church of a singing gospel, and the music and the words helped. So I remember sitting in the hospital holding my baby, not knowing if she was going to be paralyzed. There was something wrong with her leg. They thought maybe it was
polio.
And they said, "We aren't sure if she has brain function or other functions." And so I remember singing, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, His multiplied peace. And the peace of God really did come often through the word and through God's music. So our precious daughter, we doubted and we were disappointed, but God in his mercy, she walked. She had several surgeries. And even in those years, each time a new event would happen or we had a new doubt, God would just continue to give us that multiplied peace. So then, in our 60s, I was 62, when I went in for what I thought was routine surgery, maybe endometriosis or something. And when I woke up, I found out that I have stage 4 ovarian cancer. So that was definitely a surprise. We now have 2 daughters, married daughters, so 2 son-in-laws, and 5 grandchildren. So Robert and me walking through this, not knowing what was going to happen. I do remember singing, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been our guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For we know whate'er befall us, Jesus doeth all things well. So banking on the faithfulness of God, the presence of God, holding this Bible, reading this book, because it is my life, it is our life, I feel like we walked through the last 2.5 years miraculously. What can I say? I'm still here. So I feel like the miracles continue. However, the miracles are not of a physical nature. The miracles have really been of a spiritual nature.
Can I just interject? You know, too often I think when people share stories, and the people that we ask to share stories, they stand up and they say, I had faith and God fixed my problem and it's over and now it's all great. And so this is different because, you're still sick.
Yes. In fact, on Good Friday, I went to the doctor, and Dr. Veronica Schimpf, right over here at former MD Anderson, now UF Health. And she said, it's not working. I'm so sorry. We're going to have to take you off. And, I knew that was a possibility. And fortunately, on the way to the hospital, I said, Robert, what's our hymn for today? And he said, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. So we sat in Dr. Schimpf's office and we held hands and we sang that song again. We had sung it on the way to the hospital and we sang it in her office. And we said, we trust God. We don't know the future. But it's so interesting. So many people have sent me notes and things about if I could just hold on till there's a cure. And I said, really, the cure for cancer is not another chemical. The cure for cancer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the healer. He gives the answer because he himself is the answer. So back when I was 24 and I didn't know if Julie had polio, I met a young girl who had polio, who was a precious Christian. And she said, have you read John 9, the story of the disciples coming to Jesus. And they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man who was born blind or his parents? And Jesus, Rabbi Jesus said, neither. Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but through his life that the works of God might be displayed. Mm-hmm. And I think that set a trajectory for our lives, whether it's a sick child or a disappointing relationship or anything that we're going through. Cancer is just one thing. We all have trials. And Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
One of the things that we've talked about in the last several weeks, do you remember the account in Philippians chapter 1 when the Apostle Paul was in chains and he was writing to the church? And by the way, the church. Mm. What would we do without the church? But when he wrote to these people, he said, I'm happy for my chains because I believe that it's going to eliminate your fear of chains. And I think one of the ministries that the Lord has given Bobby is that people have lost their fear because they see she's in chains and she's not afraid. So, and it is an interesting thing, the whole fear thing. When we were first diagnosed, that's one of the things that we said, we're not afraid. And our goal is that the Lord would be lifted up, that he would be glorified. That prayer has been answered over and over again. There are lots of friends sitting here for whom that the answer to that prayer is them, is their lives.
And one of the things, I remember one of the nurses said, you're such a positive person. And I said, well, that's partially true. However, you have no idea how many women are praying for you, the nurses, the doctors, because when the prayers for me from this body of believers have been sustaining, encouraging, the text verses, the meals, the precious girls in my Bible study who are my daughters, who have come and called and texted and sent messages of encouragement. Mm. There is no better place to land than right in the middle of the sanctuary of Jesus with his people. And that has been the thing I want to give to the other people, the other patients I see in the waiting room, is the body of Christ. I want to give them you, because that is the sustaining grace of God, his word, his people.
I'd love to keep asking questions, but I'm gonna ask one more, and Robert, it's of you. You know, I know it's incredibly challenging and difficult for you, but when you're the loved one who's watching someone you love who is seriously ill, how have you walked through this?
Well, like a lot of our friends here would testify, it's impossible to encourage Bobby without her going first. And so I've lived this life in the last 2.5 years just being overwhelmed by my wife's encouragement of me. And even though she doesn't say this in the hospital, it really starts in God's Word. We read the Bible together every morning. We get up at dark 30, and we read the Bible every morning. This is my fifth time through the Bible, Bobby's 32nd time through the Bible. So when people say, like, where does this come from? How do you get this encouragement? How do you get this positive attitude? Well, 32 years going coast to coast in God's Word has made all the difference in my wife's life. So how do I get through it? Friends. Bobby has referred to friends. But the presence of Jesus, it's pretty simple. And his promise is that he won't go away. He'll never leave us. So day by day, with each passing moment, another song, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. So there we are.
That interview is so touching, especially to hear Bobby Wolgemuth as she sang praises to the Lord, even in the midst of a terrible battle with cancer. We've been listening to this interview conducted by Dr. David Swanson from the home church of the Wolgemuths in Orlando, Florida. I'm James Dobson, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Robert said. It is impossible to encourage Bobby without her encouraging you first. And I long to be like that. I want to be someone who reaches out to others even in the midst of personal suffering and pain. That was Bobby. In fact, at the hospital where she received 3 rounds of chemotherapy, Bobby had asked Robert to build a prayer box to put in the lobby of the hospital so that they could pray for anyone who needed prayer. There were dying people. In this case, it was the oncology department, and these were women who were going through ovarian cancer or other forms of cancer. And Bobby became friends with them and prayed with them and raised them up and encouraged them and introduced them to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of her suffering, she was not distracted by her own need for divine intervention, but still felt the call of God to minister to others who were hurting. Now, in the interview that we just heard, Bobby said, "The cure for cancer is not another chemical." Never heard anybody say this before. The cure for cancer is not another chemical. The cure for cancer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. She believed that to her core, to the foundation of her being, so much so that she used her time in the hospital as a platform and an opportunity to share with others the love of Christ. Now, I want to read for our listeners the final email that I received from Robert just a few days ago when Bobby went to be with the Lord. This email captures the beautiful and unwavering commitment that both of them have for the Lord, for our God. This is from the morning of October 28th, and it reads, "Precious friends and family, this morning at 10:50 Eastern Daylight Time, Bobby stepped into heaven. Missy and Julie were here, so the four of us were able to experience this miracle together. For the past 15 years or so, every time one of us arrives safely after a flight or a long road trip, we text one another one word. That word is safe. Now our Bobby is safe. The moment Bobby stepped into heaven, we sang a song that we used to love to sing as a family, as a quartet. This time, we sang it as a trio. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our God, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand." Then Robert, in this email, wrote something that touched me deeply. Let me read it to you. "Several weeks ago, I stood on the balcony at our house and watched Bobby walk past. Singing while she walked was something she loved to do. On this day, she was singing, 'Trust and Obey.' That's a song we learned as kids, but a song filled with wonderful understanding of God, His word, and how His sheep could understand living in obedience and tender fellowship with Him." Robert sent me that day a DVD, a video taken with his cell phone from the balcony as Bobby walked by, and you could hear her. It's faint, so we couldn't let our listeners hear it today, but it will touch you to hear it. This is a woman who is dying, and she's walking along alone, singing a love song to the Lord. It was a magnificent moment, deeply moving and deeply meaningful. Robert finished his email by saying, "We will send you more information, but Missy and Julie and I wanted to let you know right away, we love you so." Going back to that video, if you could see it, the first thing you would notice is that this woman who was going through a terrible experience of the last days of cancer is not humped over. Her shoulders were not drooping. You know, when you're depressed and upset, you have a tendency for your shoulders to drop. She was standing upright and walking along as fast as she could and singing this song of trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And yet it wasn't her own strength that was holding her up, and her demeanor being positive in that way is through the power of the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, Bobby visited our studio with her husband, Robert, and our dear friend, Johnny Erickson Tata, was there. And they sang hymns for 3 recorded days, which we aired in succession. And the program is titled The Ministry of Hymns. And you can find a link to it on our website. But I want to play for you Robert and Bobby and Johnny singing the song, It Is Well With My Soul.
The man that wrote it had already experienced in Chicago the loss of his business and the loss of his son, and he sent his wife and 4 children on to Europe to be a part of Dwight Moody's crusade. And while they were going across, another ship hit them. And his wife went on and sent a wire to him and said, saved alone. And he quickly got on another ship and went over, and they paused at the place where his 4 precious daughters had drowned. And he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well. Clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul, it is well. With my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
I remember that day in the studio when I had a great difficulty finishing the broadcast because I couldn't. I was so overwhelmed with emotion, and I am today. Before I started to prepare this program today, we had prayer, and I said, Lord, there will be people listening to us today who are going through a terrible time. Some of them have one form of cancer or another. Some are dying of other diseases, and some are discouraged completely down to their soul. And they desperately need a touch from you. And this could be the moment. Maybe they're listening today because you brought them to the radio on this day. I ask the Lord in that prayer to be there, especially to encourage those who need it most. My book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, may help. And a phone call to someone you know who's going through a hard time might also help. We ask you to reach out to those who are in need today. And thank you for joining us on the broadcast. We're sharing a program that we're calling The Tribute to Bobby Wogomuth on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We're going to devote one more day to Bobby Wogomuth. I could easily spend the rest of the month talking about this great lady.